Six Books. Non-prison coolings for the DS-106 Good Spell. Welcome to the DS-106 Good Spell, Episode 24. One of 106 bullets, mantras and koans that explore the open online course Digital Storytelling 106. Meditations and rambles about education, openness, open education, art, fun and learning. We are just futzing splendidly since 2013 on DS-106 Radio for Life. I am John Johnson, and at the other end of Skype call here is Mariana. Hi, Mariana.
Hello, John. How are you? I've missed you. Are we on?
We are, but, you know, I told you I couldn't get on this without at least one technical hitch, and the technical hitch was I forgot to monitor the Skype output. So I am now doing that. Hopefully iTunes is paused and we're talking. It looks as though it's going out. So this is the first show of 2015. So we've been doing this, Mariana, for over a year now.
I guess so, yes. Yeah. We've got a spring term this term.
Yeah. And we're at 24 out of 106 possible episodes, which is it's pretty good, I think. Pretty good. We had a nice extended Christmas and New Year break. And tonight we're going to talk about one of the bullets that you wrote way back when, in December 2013. And your tools shape your interactions. Twitter communication makes DS-106. I'm glad I learnt it before the course. This is quite interesting. So how did you learn Twitter, Mariana?
Well, when I decided that I would take time out from everything to do the DS-106, you know, kind of full-time kind of thing, so dedicate time to it, I realized that Twitter was a big thing to make the DS-106 work. I hated Twitter. I swore on Giphodog's life that I would never in my life join it.
Yeah.
This is where I started with it. But I realized that I had to change my mind on that if I was going to make, to make DS-106 work, because it was clear that it was used a lot. And how I learned it was I actually did a course that it was run by Scholastic Rattaches on Twitter, Helen Webster. And she's at a university here in the UK, I think, and she runs, I think the hashtag is 10LD. Or something. Anyway, she runs a 10 days of Twitter, which is sort of Twitter for academic use. And I did that. It just happens to be that she was running one just before DS-106, and I did it. And that was the first time, really, that I started to meet, as it were, talk to DS-106 people, because as I started to do the exercises for the 10 days course that I was doing, I started to meet up with people like you, people like Alan, people like Christina, who I think, you know, first contact probably was Twitter. All of you.
So a wee while ago, I was looking up my first impression of Twitter, and I think I put a post out on my blog about Twitter, saying, yeah, I could see, this was the time I was a class teacher, I could see that it might be useful if you're the sort of character who spent all their time at conferences and things, but I didn't think it would do much use for day-to-day teachers. And then, of course, there are thousands and thousands and thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of teachers on Twitter using it. So I think that just, I'm really good at predicting the use of technology, I think. And also, appropriately, I'm just looking at some tweets coming in. Rochelle's out there. Hi, Rochelle. Yeah. And she's saying, what's our hashtag?
Look, I changed it to your hashtag. Rochelle, please don't change it again. I like your one, whatever it was, the first one.
Yeah. So Being Twitter experts, of course, we've got this hashtag stuff down really well, and we organise our hashtags and stick to them. I think we are on #goodspell106 for the show. I usually just fill up the whole tweet with #106 106 radio and the most recent noir 106 or is it 106 noir? We've learned over the years we've got on Twitter how to communicate and group things together with hashtags and the like, and it's kind of interesting to watch the new people come on board. DS106, there's a course at the moment running in I think three different places or with three different tutors. I'm never too clear on the physical locations of the different places, but Martha Berthas, Jim Groom and Paul Bond are running this Noir 106, which we'll be talking about later, and you can see people coming in, and obviously some of them are already all set up with social media and stuff. But I was interested, maybe just as a kick-off, talk about this quote I found on IrishIronman.com, which is one of the participants in DS106, whose name I thought I popped in there as well, but I've forgotten. But it's IrishIronman.com, and it's his week one summary. And he said, "What I found challenging was using the technology this past week. It has fun, but I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I keep being followed on Twitter, which I find creepy and interesting at the same time. Who are these people that are finding me, and why are they following me? I'm not that interesting a person that someone should be following me. The interesting thing has been celebrities that I do not care for or know anything about are following me. Questions that arise, are they real people? Are they fake? Are they computer generated to make me look cool? I don't know the answers, but I keep on looking to see who's following me." So that's interesting.
Oh no, a dark night of the soul just as a result of joining Twitter.
Well, I'm kind of interested in being followed by celebrities. I don't think any celebrities have ever followed me. I'm a bit... He's just on Twitter, I mean, and he's got these celebrities following him already. I'm a bit miffed, I think. Mariana.
You're jealous now. Yeah. You want some celebrities following you.
But it is kind of a weird space, and sometimes weird people follow you, and you've got to think a wee bit about what you're sharing. I think DS106 gives a good set of instructions about using social media and trying to encourage people to, one, be careful about what they're sharing, but also we play about quite a lot with creating characters that take part, or you take part in DS106 as a character almost. I think, and especially this noir one seems to have got off that way, with the course leaders taking on personas and creating a story and mystery out of the actual course.
I think that there is something about, you know, when you exaggerate something, like, you know, you learn how to create a character, for example, and create a Twitter account in order to create a character to tell a story. One of the things that it does is hopefully it helps students lose that sense of being afraid about what it might be. You know, like this person that you just read out, you know, there is a sense of having control of the medium rather than it controlling you, as it were. But it is interesting how Twitter as a tool kind of shapes how we choose to interact. Because, for example, if I compare it with the way that we interact on the DS106 Google Plus community, or how we might interact in blogs, for example, there is a difference, and there is something very unique about the way that the DS106 community uses Twitter as a I don't know. It's almost, to me, I always get that image of in little towns in Italy, you know, you've got the sort of piazza in the middle of town. Mm-hmm. and it is a bit like that. It's like, you know, who are you going to, you know, who are going to be, if you go for a little passeggiata, you know, who are you going to hang around with? oh, hi, how are you? I haven't seen you for a while. It feels a bit like that. There is that sort of, we're using the hashtag. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking Twitter as a whole. I'm thinking the kind of environment that we create, and, you know, I suppose, alongside the hashtag. And I think there's something very special about that.
So you think a hashtag is like a town square then, where you see people that you know, and I guess you're trying to do the same sort of thing. You just, I mean, it seems to me that the custom of walking around in the evening, part of it is that is it Belfig? I can't do any kind of Belfigura. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to look good, you know, you've got to have your good clothes on and stand up straight and stuff like that. So there's maybe some of that on Twitter, which is quite interesting, what sort of dash you cut.
Well, I suppose, I mean, particularly when you're starting, I mean, look, for example, at the Noir 106 and the avatars thing.
Mm.
You know, you haven't changed your avatar to a noir one, but your noir avatar is awesome. You should use it.
I've never changed my Twitter avatar. I've changed the background color, so I'm kind of reluctant to change that. I'm using the icon and some video stuff I'm messing about with.
Jim didn't change his. The only thing he did was start change it to black and white. So he didn't, you know, he just changed it in black and white. But but some of the people, I mean, Paul Bond, he changed his, and it's an awesome avatar. I really like. So that's just to emphasize what you're saying about there is something about the sort of self presentation, the image that we present, and with the DS106 hashtag, I think comes a level of playfulness that. That I think is you know, does sort of get you into what Twitter can be, not necessarily what it is in all of the other places where we sometimes don't want to look, and where sometimes we might feel creeped out, like that person that you just read out.
Hmm. And we probably should mention, if you're listening to this live, it will be a podcast after the event sometime. You can tweet us and join in. Rochelle, hi Rochelle, is out there talking. She's mentioning the fact that she used to think a hashtag was a pound sign. And she's used the hashtag DS106 radio and hash 106 spell. But I guess if you want to join in and say anything tonight, just make sure you put Mariana or me as an @. And we'll pick it up while we're talking here. It'd be interesting to know if there's any Noirista out there listening. And hopefully we can be some sort of use to the folk on the course over the next few weeks while it's running. We'll be running once a week and maybe picking up some of the things that are going on in the live DS106 class,
and they're more likely to be listening to us live when they've got their radio week, isn't it?
And
much more likely, but there is talk, but there are secret talks at the moment of a radio show with guest starring Toki Tina for Noir 106 at some point when we do the radio weeks.
Wow, yeah.
But they're secret talks at the moment.
Yeah, I may have made a slight mistake in replying to a comment recently with Tina, but I didn't mean it in a bad way. That she
you didn't use the mean word.
Not the mean word, but there is, I mean, the mean word isn't so mean in the world of noir.
That's true.
And I hope that Tina realises that, which will maybe lead on to some other things once we talk about noir, about language and things, and, you know, the times. But you've got a couple of quotes here by Clive Thompson, who, the first of which I am not even going to attempt to read out because it's got not a mean word, but a hard word. So do you want to read out that first quote, Mariana, and then explain it to me?
I can just talk about it's an old, relatively old article about Twitter and what it's like by this guy Clive Thompson, and what is most interesting about it is that he talks about interaction in Twitter when you use it in the kind of way that we might use the DS106 hashtag, or the kind, or when you use it with a group of people that you know and that you interact with regularly. He talks about this idea of social proprioception, and that was the hard word, not the mean word, and comparing it with the idea proprioception is the way that we know that our body moves into space, so how we feel that we are in relation to the things around us, and so physically there is that's what it means, but he uses the idea of social proprioception, which I think is a really interesting idea, that in a way, you can almost get a sense, almost like a physical sense of a group of people. So they give the quote is, they give a group of people a sense of itself, making possible weird, fascinating feats of coordination. It's practically collectivists. You're collectivist. You are creating a shared understanding larger than yourself, and I think it is really interesting in relation to hashtags in particular, and you know what we might call hashtag classrooms, how there is a way in which we identify with the hashtag and we have a level of attachment to it as we use it more, and it becomes part of how we present ourselves, certainly on Twitter, if not on online as a whole.
So yeah, Rochelle says, she says a level of trust is involved, and I suppose once you start joining what you're saying, it's classroom but a hashtag, you start developing that. And she also says, what do you think about #TV? Oh, Twitter, is that Twitter versus zombies?
Yes.
Did you do this, Mariana?
I have done TVZ. Yes, I have. Not the latest one, but I did do one when I first started doing the S106.
So do you want to maybe just, we possibly should, for if there is anybody listening and who's new to the course, say, you know, some tips about using Twitter. But do you possibly want to just have a wee elevator pitch for Twitter versus zombies?
So the idea is to teach Twitter through game playing. Mm. I think that there is a new version of the game, a one-day version of the game coming up soon. And what it is you know, as the name implies, sort of, you know, Twitter versus zombies. So you create, you know, two groups of people. It has been done dropping the zombies as well, using other groups of people and, you know, different kind of characters and creating different stories. But the idea is that you use the medium in order to shape a story. And through it to help people who are maybe not familiar with Twitter to learn how to use it, but through using Twitter, because the idea is to create a multimedia narrative, they can also learn how to use the web in other ways, because of course they can create video, they can create blogs, they can create any number of things, and everything gets centralized, the story gets centralized via the Twitter through the specific hashtag. And they use hashtags also as the different actions in the game. So what you do and what happens is all managed via hashtags. So it's an interesting, if you're interested in learning how to use Twitter, it's an interesting thing to do, maybe for the new students that are coming in.
Yeah.
I wish I knew the date of the new one. I don't know.
If they've got any time in their life that is not absorbed by DS106, the poor souls could spend a bit of time tweeting as zombies. And the other thing that comes up with Twitter, and it's maybe more basic, is that people say, you know, they don't understand it. And you know, if somebody actually asked me to explain it, or I wouldn't say I could do a really good job, but I think you just get it by doing it.
that's
very
what
often.
Clive,
yeah.
That's what the Clive Thompson guy says. And I must say that there is something about it, about that, the experiential nature of it. And also that there should be a kind of purpose, in as much as I suspect that going into Twitter without a clue and without any purpose, but just you're going to join it, it's probably quite a... Well, I'm not sure. It must be like that quote that you read at the beginning. It must be both quite confusing, quite overwhelming. You know, I can see that. But in my experience, at least, you know, when I learned how to use it, and I immediately had a little hashtag that I could attach myself to. So I was kind of going, okay, I don't know, I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but I'll just use my hashtag and see if somebody will help me. And this was the Twitter course at the beginning. And then after that, there was a point because I was actually doing a course, doing the S106, and so I needed to use it for that purpose. And so the medium... was there just to help me do what I was doing, which is learning how to do digital storytelling. So you don't get lost in, it's not about Twitter, is it? It's about using the medium to communicate in the same way as you might use any other mediums that in media that would lend itself to something else. Like often we say with Google Plus, or I would say with Google Plus, that, you know, it's a place where we are much more able to help each other, sort of, you know, do this, try that, and so on. Whereas, you know, Twitter tends to be more kind of quick, go and look here, go and look there. So they do lend themselves to different type of communication.
Yeah.
But if you've got a purpose, it's easier, I think, to understand what you can do with it. Whereas if you're just tweeting what you had for lunch, I mean, I can't imagine that there would be any point in it.
Yeah. I think once you've got the hashtag, gives you an audience, and that's what you really need before you start shouting into the void. You've got a wee hashtag that gives you a perception of an audience. You know who you're talking to. You presume that somebody's listening.
That's the idea of the social proprioception, of course,
yeah.
Which is to say that in a way you could argue it's the hashtag that holds that thing that is larger than myself rather than larger than the one individual. And something like DS106, because it's had so many runs and so there is a lot that it contains, I guess, as an entity. And so using the hashtag does give you a sense for... So almost like taking the temperature or the climate of a community, because of that. The other thing it reminds me as we talk about Twitter and how to use it, Catherine Cronin talks a lot about using the hashtag she tends to use. I think she creates an account for a particular course, and she uses that account so that the students can use the account anonymously, if that makes sense. So it's an ad handle, yeah, so for the particular course, and then allows different students to use it, because her point about safety and trust, yeah, and so on, at least it gives the students a kind of a bit of freedom to experiment with something for a purpose, but not necessarily putting themselves out there in case they don't feel safe to do so.
And the other one I noticed that sort of, I suppose, tangentially connected to that is at the end of the last DS106 course, the Wire 106, the students were encouraged to sort of adopt a character and create a Twitter account for that character. So you had characters out of The Wire tweeting in character, which seemed quite a good fun way to think about things.
And did you see that? Because that was another thing as we're talking about, I suppose, the use of Twitter for digital storytelling. Because Twitter versus zombies, an example of a story, and so on. There is this other, and I am not going to remember the details, but we can probably find them and put them up on. When we post the podcast, but there is somebody who has created a whole story and like an old fashioned adventure game, where you start by tweeting a fictitious character, and then you have some choices that you make, and you tweet here and you tweet there, and he's And the way he did it was because he couldn't create us because he needed lots of different Twitter accounts. He went begging to all his friends if they had any old Twitter accounts that he could use and adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And he created this whole story using different Twitter accounts that you can play.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. It's proof of concept at this point, of course. But it's a really lovely thing. You know, you can do this or you can do that, and then another Twitter goes to a different account, and then it gives you another choice, and so on. And you can and it just weaves this little story just through using different characters, which is interesting.
Yeah, no, it's another one to dig in, and I wonder if there's some room in the noir DS-106 for this, given the short sentences are quite often favoured
I have to use my memorable quote of the weekend after watching a couple of noir films,
mm-hmm.
and it was, I did tweet it out, it was, I did it for the money, I did it for the woman, I didn't get the money, I didn't get the woman. Oh my God, they do have killer phrases,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah. That's life, you know. So there's a few things other than this idea of Twitter that just appears that we've kind of touched on. What I saw, and I've not taken note, unfortunately, of the blog post, but one of the participants, after reading the initial texts and things that were suggested in week one and two of the noir course, said she just, I think, found them racist and sexist. I think she said sexist, she definitely said racist. And I wonder, yeah, if you're studying old texts that are problematic in that way, and you're doing it in the comfort of your own home, and your essays have been read by your tutor, it's quite different to be on the open web.
I know, it's interesting you say that, because I was watching The Man Who Wasn't There today, and I wanted to do some tweeting around precisely that. And I thought, there's no way I would send a Twitter including words like pansy and wop, for the Italian thing. But I was interested, you know, in how the kind of all of this language is used. And I think there have been some people talking about this, and about the kind of, I think Jim did write a post saying, you know, you kind of go through the process of studying a particular genre in a context. Viewed from where we are now, a lot of these words will be offensive and inappropriate. And I think the point that he was making in his blog post was to say, it doesn't mean that we are going to go and copy that. It means that we need to understand it in the context, and then also understand that for us right now, that would be inappropriate, so we wouldn't use them.
Yeah.
So I think there is a kind of learning process that he's hoping students will go through to understand, to actually be faced with something that is quite challenging. And I think they are being, because if you look at the Twitter hashtag, you can see how people are being, you know, quite challenged by it all. And I'm not surprised, because of course, you know, there is all the stereotyping, as you say, there is all the language that we would not use today. But then there is what is it trying to show? You know, it's related to a particular time in history, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's probably maybe worth digging into it a wee bit. In January, I think I posted a wee video just before the noir course started, because I was messing around with the supercut stuff, and it's one out of the Big Steal, which is described by Wikipedia as a 1949 American black and white film noir / comedy with Robert Mitchum and Jane Greer. And it's largely set, as far as I remember, in Mexico. And one of the really interesting things is that the Mexican police characters are obviously intelligent. They speak two languages fluently, and you know, the film sort of points this out to you. And I was really quite surprised at that sort of positive swing it had on Mexicans, because very often, especially in films of those dates, especially maybe I don't know, but noir more generally, but a lot of Hollywood movies, you know, westerns and the likes, which many of us grew up on, Mexicans were very negatively portrayed, and I really just thought that was very interesting to see that.
Well, there is that, isn't there, about the how you're, it's the time that, you know, that these films are portraying, because it's not necessarily that they were off that time, but you know, the man who wasn't there is a Coen Brothers film, so it's a new one. So it's a kind of, they call it neo noir now. I've learned. Yes, so it's a new film done in the style of, but of course it's reflecting that same time, isn't it, and those same stereotypes, really.
It mixes up whether the author's voice or the character's voice are the same as well, and whether by showing somebody as a racist or sexist or otherwise bad person, is that the author saying this is okay, or is that the author saying, look what a dumpling this person is to be acting like that?
And of course, that's the whole point about the ambiguity of it all, isn't it? That you can maybe what can be said is that it isn't, you know, it's not taking a position. It's more of descriptive things, and then we as the viewer take the position.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think I'm probably just going to avoid all of that sort of stuff in any noir activity I do, and spend as much time as possible teasing Jim and Martha and Paul.
Actually, I've been very interested in that, because I've been reading some really interesting things around the psychology of noir, and because of course that's my bias, and it is really very interesting to look at some of the things that you know. Not, I'm less interested in terms of the you know, the kind of things that we've just talked about, but more about the way that the film is the films are put together are meant to show the inner struggle of the characters. So the outside is the inside.
Yeah,
I think that's fascinating. I probably will be writing some more about that, because I think that's really fascinating to analyze a film in that way.
Sometimes very very crudely. I was just watching on the train the last couple of days going back and forward to work, DOA, which is a noir film, and some of it is laughable. I mean, when the male lead character at the start of the film is distracted by attractive women walking past him, and they actually do a sort of whistle thing in the soundtrack as he's doing it. It's almost like a pratfall noise, you know. And you're beginning to think, you know, how seriously can you take a film that does that? But they also do, when he's in a panic, he runs really fast. I mean, fastest. Well, hopefully I've got a wee gif that's coming out. You know, it's blurring. He's so panicky, he's blurring through the streets. And running, and it's I guess a very dark film on some levels. But
I heard it described. I'm just trying to see if I can look at if I can find my, because I did tweet it out, because I read some stuff today around it, and they talked about, let me see, tabloid, that some of these films are tabloid style stories. I thought that was a really great description, because sometimes, because they are so laughable in that way, as you say, sometimes it's almost like a sketch, isn't it? It's not even real characters. But when I heard it described as the sort of tabloid style story, I thought, that's right, it's like one of our tabloid newspapers, you know, and that kind of story. And once I heard that, it's again, you know, the sort of choice of word, made me understand maybe a little bit better what the intent is in the creating the films in this sketchy kind of way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a fascinating course. I'm kind of looking forward to dipping in and out as much as I can. We're just hitting after the half hour mark, Mariana, so I'm sort of
rolling. We are, Rochelle is just saying she's been researching noir music.
This is what I'm hoping, if anybody's listening, because we could do with some fresh bumpers. And it would be nice if somebody would make us some nice noir bumpers. So if you're out there and you're a bumperista, you have some musical talent, make us a noir bumper. That would be good.
That would be lovely.
Yeah. My battery is also dropping rapidly. So that's the other, as well as time constraints, we've got battery constraints because I forgot to bring the extension cable in. I think it'd been an interesting chat. It's nice to get started again. Mariana, I hope we can be of use to people doing DS106 as well as having fun between ourselves generally.
And next week we might also pick up on the other DS106 that's running, because the U Show 15 that Alan Levine is running is running in parallel with the Noir 106, and Rochelle is running a group with them, so it might be interesting to maybe divide things up again, a bullet, whatever we're talking about next week, and maybe some time to talking about the U Show 15 and how it's going within 3M, which is where Rochelle is running it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, and it looks like Rochelle, at least, who has been our listener for tonight. I don't know if there's been any more. I'm scared to look.
Go on, look.
I think it's bad karma to look at how many listeners you've got.
The important thing is
Rochelle's actually going to make us a bumper. So hopefully we'll play that on a future show.
And have we? Which one did we play when we started? Did we play the one that
I played my old one that I made. No, it's the one I made because it's got bullets in it, which I thought was sort of appropriate for the noir thing. And I'll probably play out with that nice one Viv does, because Top Cat's a kind of noirish cartoon, I would have thought. No?
Go on then.
Is it? I'll need to find it first, but we'll have a wee shot at that.
Good spell, we're John and Mariana. Good spell, they're tough and honor, and it's everything you wanted to know. Tune into the DS106 radio show. Intellectual conversation, the leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet, so go and give them a tweet. The DS106 Good Spell Show.